Hit Radio Ghana.
Live from our national studios here in Accra, linking up with all our regional FM stations and also on the internet at gbcghana.com, we say welcome to Behind the News, where we speak to the experts and those making the news. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, Accra is getting ready for another cleanup exercise. The question is, are we going to sustain it and how different will it be this time around? Nadoli benefits from Japanese funds for health infrastructure. What informed the selection of this beneficiary district? And also, the Rainbow Club, Accra House of Folk, is 100 years old. How the next centenary journey look like? Before we get to these stories, however, it's Behind the News live on Ubuntu 96.5 FM and Unique 95.7. And also across the country, you can get us from east to west and north to south. And we are moving on to our first story, but we want to remind you that, as usual, we'll be picking your comments and concerns on 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. Another cleanup exercise in Accra and its environs. Well, is it the answer to the perennial floods and its attendant problems in the capital? Following the devastating floods that claimed lives and property in the Accra Tema Metropolis recently, the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development is mobilizing some metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies for a massive cleanup. Some critics, however, say the exercise has come too late since there has already been cholera outbreak in Accra after the floods. Behind the News discusses the issue raised with the stakeholders in tomorrow's cleanup exercise. And we have joining us first the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Samuel Ofosu Ampofu. Good evening, sir. You are welcome to Behind the News once again.
Thank you.
We want to ask, what is the state of readiness of the ministry and also the assemblies involved in tomorrow's exercise?
Well, I think everything has been put in place to ensure a very successful clean-up exercise. There have been a series of meetings between the ministry and the various metropolitan and municipal assemblies. Again, we have also gotten on board our service providers led by Zoom Lion and several other companies that are doing business with the assembly. We are also doing this in conjunction with the National Disaster Management Organization, who had played a very, very unique role during this flooding period. And even after the flooding, they still continue to support. So this is a collaborative and joint, you know, program that is being done under the auspices of my ministry, but with active support from the Metropolitan Municipal Assemblies as well as NADMO.
How many of the Metropolitan Municipal and District Assemblies are involved?
So far, it is the Tema Metropolitan Assembly, Accra Metropolitan Assembly, Lejokuku Krowo Municipal Assembly, Ga East Municipal Assembly, Ga West Municipal Assembly, Ga South Municipal Assembly, and then Adenta Municipal Assembly will do this next week, that is 19th, but all the number of assemblies that I've mentioned now, including the Ashaman Municipal Assembly, is also undertaking this exercise. So it is being done concurrently in all the metropolitan and municipal areas that I've mentioned.
The floods place some of the other capitals in terms of districts and even metropolis on the alert. Does that mean that we are ending it only with the south, or perhaps you'll be extending it?
We will be extending it. In fact, we want to make the cleanup exercise part and parcel of our lifestyle, because that is what we used to do through our communities, pesticides, remove choke gutters, and then by so doing, we were contributing to cleaning the environment. What we are experiencing now is that when the flood disaster occurred, debris were moved from city to another volume of it.
That's unfortunate. We lost the Honorable Minister on the line, but we'll quickly try to establish contact once again with him, Mr. Samuel Ofosu Ampofu, on the line there. That is the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development. As Behind the News, you are also live on Ura Radio, Borga, and also Radio Upper West, WAG together with Garden City Radio, Behind the News, and you're live on Radio Savannah together with Sunrise Radio, Kuforidia. And we have the indication that the Honorable Minister is back on the line. Sorry, sir, we lost you earlier. But you were talking about the fact that the flats did not demarcate where it should go. Debris being carried from one district or municipality to the other.
Yes, and that is the reason why we realize that not until a massive cleanup exercise involving all the major stakeholders is undertaken, it will be very, very difficult for us to clear the debris and free the two gutters and the environment that has been muddied as a result of this flood. That is why we thought that this one should be a very massive one. And indeed, from all indications, we have mobilized a number of equipment, to help a number of trucks. Zoom Lion has taken delivery of new trucks that have been made available to the various assemblies. Other service providers are also providing their trucks. Again, we are going to get support from the fire service who will use their fire tenders, the pressure you need to help blow through some of the true gutters. Again, we are getting a lot of support and logistics from NADMO and others. So for me, I think that the kind of seriousness that has been attached to this and the effort that has been put in place, we will be able to rid the city of the filth and debt that it finds itself as a result of the flooding that occurred recently.
Honorable Minister, you call the people sometimes doubting Thomases, but some say they've seen it before and we are going back on the same track. Sometimes with even some of the debris you are talking about left on the fringes of drains and all. How different will this be?
Well, this one is going to be different because we have discussed all that and we have decided that with this time around we have a number of trucks that will be made available. But besides that, we are also creating transfer areas where the debris and the other debts and that are removed from the two gutters and will be deposited at transfer points where we realize that the trucks are not enough because of traffic. Sometimes that is a major inhibiting factor because when the trucks are loaded, you know the dump site, some are in Tema, the landfill sites are in Tema, some are in Anya, some are in Abokubi, and then you have some also in Weja area there, and you know the traffic in this area. So sometimes that is the difficulty that we get. As a result of that, we decided not to leave any debris along the drains, but rather we will move them from those ends there and then send them to what we call transfer centers, where in the night the vehicles can be mobilized to collect everything that has been heaped in those transfer centers during the night in order to clear those areas. So we are going to ensure that this one do not leave in its trail any debris and along the choke gutters that are collected to leave them on the along the drains.
So far, what has been done to kindle the interest of the inhabitants of these areas mentioned?
Well, we have sensitized people. We have media partners. We virtually all the radio stations are media partners, and we have asked them as part of their social responsibility to keep on announcing this. We have our mobile vans, the information services mobile vans, also going around to do announcements. The assemblies have decided to close the major markets from the morning to 11:30 so that everybody will be able to participate in the program. We are using assembly members, unit committee members, and opinion leaders. We are using youth groups and other voluntary organizations. In fact, just left my office. They are called the Omega Group. They just left my office. About 80 of them are mobilizing themselves. So we are calling on public spirited Ghanaians that this is a call to national duty. Let us all rise up to the occasion. Let us put our shoulders to the wheel and do the little that we can to keep our city clean. Because once our cities are clean, we believe that we'll be living in a very healthy environment and we'll be able to avoid some of the, you know, diseases that we contract as a result of filth and insanitary conditions that we encounter in our environment.
Yeah, Mr. Fosan Pofu, the other argument is that when it's not there, you don't even clean, spending so much time to get them out. What are we going to do about attitudes, working on it on perennial basis?
Yeah, you know, this whole question of attitude is very critical in what we are doing. If we do not change our attitude, we'll have this situation occurring and reoccurring again. Therefore, the ministry has decided, together with the Ministry of Information and others, to intensify our public education, even right from the schools, on the need to keep our environment clean, the need to dispose our waste, you know, in a better way. And again, we even are planning to manufacture biodegradable polythene bags and then distribute them freely to commercial vehicles, so that people who sit in vehicles and drink water could put the plastic in those biodegradable polythene that we will give them. And then we are also going to buy a number of receptacles, that is bins, and then distribute it to lorry stations and other commercial centers, so that when the drivers come in, there will be a place where they will dispose of this polythene bags there. Once we do that and continue to do that, I think that the culture of cleanliness and the culture of healthy disposal of waste will be inculcated by our drivers and passengers alike. And as a gradual process, we'll be able to change their attitude. Attitudinal change is very key and critical in all this matter.
So then what do you say to those who say that after campaigns and education, there should be punitive measures for those who decide not to yield?
Well, we have bylaws, and the assemblies are clothed with very powerful bylaws, which if they implement or enforce, will ensure that sanity prevails in our environment. Therefore, we are charging the assemblies to go ahead and ensure that the bylaws are enforced. Again, I have also tasked my metropolitan and municipal and leadership executives to ensure that we also hold our technical officers responsible for some of the haphazard development. Because I, for instance, do not understand why building inspectors will go and see somebody developing a structure, and the structure is at the foot level or foundation level, then they put stop work there by order and give a date by which, if the person continues, it will be demolished. And then they could leave the structure until the person has completed the whole structure, and then one day they will come and say that you have put up an unauthorized structure, want to pull down the building when the person has gone to occupy it. I am saying that once you realize that the development is unauthorized, go ahead, because the law empowers the assemblies to even cause demolition and then search out the cause of the demolition to the recalcitrant person who decided to build without authorization.
So, does that mean that after this, we are not going to see flats engulfing the city again?
My brother, I cannot say that we are not going to see flats, because even in advanced countries today, you know what is happening in Thailand, you know what has happened in the United States and several other, you know, countries where we could say they are more advanced in terms of technology than that. So flooding as a natural phenomenon, one cannot say that we will not experience it. But let me give you an example, for instance. In Ashiaman, when the last flood took place last year, 16 people lost their lives. The assembly, together with the hydro department, made conscious efforts to construct more storm drains and then open up the filtering of two gutters and others. So when this recent torrential rain came, Ashiaman was not very much affected as it used to do during the previous ones. And there was no loss of life, and there was no loss of massive properties and so on and so forth. So we've realized that the construction of storm drains and continued defilting of gutters will go a long way to prevent the intensity of the flood anytime it rains. But that is where we must also be very careful the way we dispose of our refuse, because if people will put things in polythene bags and then get up early morning, look left and right and throw it, if people will, when it starts raining, will come out and quickly pour the dirt into the debris into running gutters and others, then we will always have the situation that we have on our hands. But I believe that with continuous education and with continuous participation of the community themselves in this cleaning up exercise, once people are involved in cleaning up their gutters, they will make sure that they will not sit down and allow people to indiscriminately dump objects into the gutters and get them choked.
Honorable Minister, there is this other concern, and many people have tried to bring it up. In this day and age, we are still constructing open drains, and that certainly is a temptation. Are we going to see something else being done now?
Well, to a very large extent, we will continue to live with open drains because the situation we face now, because of the way we do this dumping, sometimes if we construct closed drains, it becomes very difficult. I remember when I was in Kuforodia, we undertook an exercise around the central business district and wanted to open some of the drains. They were so choked that access even to clean them was difficult. So until we change our attitude, it's going to be extremely difficult to rely on exclusively on closed drains. So we will have to live with this situation for some time, until such a time that we are able to change our attitude. Otherwise, I would say that in most of the modern drains that we are constructing today, for instance, we signed an MOU with a 40 million euro facility of the French government for 4 three metropolitan and 1 municipal assembly. And in all the agreement, construction of storm drains were part of it. So government will continue to construct storm drains to open up our system and reduce the effect of flooding. But we will have to live with open drains for some time now, until such a time that we'll have the resources and the appropriate attitude to deal with closed drains.
So the storm drains will be the long-term measure for now. Are we to understand it that way?
It is not long-term, it's ongoing. It's continuously, we continue. You see, we have a lot of drains in the country, especially in the capital. And you cannot, because of the cost involved in constructing them, under our urban environmental sanitation program phase 2, a number of drains are being constructed. And so we will continue to construct them, but we are always constrained and limited by resources. And so as and when resources are available, we'll continue to construct them. But we cannot address the issues, all together because of financial limitations.
Well, what do you say of those who say that the pay-as-you-dump policy is also getting people to do the wrong things because perhaps they don't have something to pay for?
Well, the pay-as-you-dump is the best thing because that has enabled the number of private sector operators to engage in this refuse collection. And so where the system is operating efficiently, they are provided with receptacles, they dump, and then service providers will come and take it, and then they will pay. And so you don't have any problem in those areas. It is areas where the pay-as-you-dump is not effectively being implemented, and sometimes even the containers, the refuse bins and others are not available for them to even dump and pay. That is where you have some of these problems. So we are addressing it gradually, and very soon, I believe that together with EMA and other metropolitan areas, we'll be able to purchase enough receptacles, distribute them across so that every community will get some. And then we'll be able to then enforce the policy effectively.
We want to thank you very much, Mr. Samuel Ofosuanpo, for joining us on the program this evening.
Thank you.
That is the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development. But still on the cleanup exercise, we have joining us on the line now the head of operation of NADMO, Helen Ntosu. He will be telling us exactly how they are assisting. Good evening, madam.
Good evening, my brother.
Yes, we've heard that you are actively playing a role in the exercise. What exactly will you be doing?
We're working in collaboration with the with AMA and LECMA, Municipal, Tema, Ashama, Adenta, and all the areas that got flooded during the recent rain.
Okay.
And what we're doing is that we have our volunteers, we have our DVGs, who are the disaster volunteer groups. We've alerted them, they are ready, they're on the ground. So in collaboration with our AMA and those other areas that I have mentioned, who clean the gutters, AMA has also given contracts to, they've awarded contracts to some other contractors who will be discussing gutters in some of the areas. But we'll be concentrating in the communities that got flooded. But where there's a need for heavy, you know, equipment or heavy earth moving machines to be used, the AMA will do that.
Yeah. So far, to what extent have you been able to assist the flood victims?
We have actually 14 areas, you know, that we're giving relief. And for the past 1 week, we've been giving relief items to flood victims. We are still giving out relief. We haven't finished with what we are doing. We still have a lot of many of these victims that have not yet benefited, but we're still giving out relief items.
Yeah, some people have complained that sometimes it never gets to them, even though they look on and see that things have been distributed. Does that mean that you have a system that does not cover everybody who was affected?
We have a system. But what happens is that at times when you go during the disaster phase, when you're registering victims, you get to certain homes when people are not there. People are not there. So then later they come out to say we were victims. But our priority, you know, now is the people that we have registered. So when after distribution, we do a mop-up exercise, you know, to be able to reach those that we've not been able to register during the disaster phase.
Well, but coming back to the present cleanup exercise, do you see it as the solution to the problem?
The information?
The cleanup.
The cleanup, yeah?
Yes. Do you see it as the solution to the problem?
I think so. It will help, because last year we did clean up exercise in May, and by July we started we started having the rains in Accra, and unfortunately like the minister said, unfortunately 16 people died in Ashema. But you realize that because most of the areas, the gutters have been filtered. This year, when we had the rain, those areas that were affected last year, but because the gutters have been filtered, this year they were not affected as it happened last year. So it does work, you know. It does work. This cleanup as well, that would help. It helps.
Yeah.
Really
NADMO will always tell us it is a coordinating agency bringing various agencies together. Do you think you've really been able to mobilize all these agencies to combat this perennial flood? Sometimes it dislodges and gets elsewhere, and at other times, while tackling it over there, then it becomes a problem at another place.
You know, my brother, the problem is that like you rightly said, we are a coordinating agency. We've been doing our best, you know, coordinating the agencies that are involved in cleaning up the city. The problem is that, you know, that people have voted on waterways, and the MA has taken up, you know, demolition. There are certain areas people criticize. But last year, you do remember that areas that AMA planned demolition and demolition of some structures that people were against. They were the most affected areas. This year, they are still doing it. But you realize that, for instance, Sakama, last year we had a lot of victims that were affected there. But because there has been some sort of demolition in Dansuma areas, you know, this year they have not been so much affected as it did happen last year. So I think that as Ghanaians, we have to cooperate. We have to cooperate with the AMA, we have to cooperate with the authorities, so that when these demolition exercises are, you know, taking place, people will not, you know, say that for political reasons they are doing this, they are doing that, but it the time has come for one to have a political will to do what the AMA is doing.
Yeah.
Clean the city, because it's a high time we have a resilient city.
Yeah, we'll be going to the AMA soon to see exactly how this time they are having that will to go ahead. But quickly, the other concern is that we are looking at Accra now because it has been the recent place to have experienced such a disaster. Are you keeping an eye on other areas that might be developing a similar problem?
Yes, Tema is also... going to do this exercise tomorrow. They are also cleaning up their places, especially the areas that were affected. They are also cleaning up the places. And as NADMO, we do encourage our people in the districts to do same as we're doing in Accra. The regions, we have encouraged them to also desert, go into the certain gutters where they need be for them to do. They should do that, and they should encourage these assemblies to, you know, in collaboration with these assemblies, to do up or carry out the same cleaning up exercises.
Do you follow up with enforcement measures?
We cannot enforce, but like you rightly said, we are a coordinating agency. We cannot enforce, but the district assembly, they can really enforce, you know, that people clean up their gutters and all that. We can only collaborate.
Okay. We want to thank you very much for your time to Madam Melanie Intoso, Head of Operation of NADMO, for being part of the show tonight.
Thank you so much and you're welcome.
But as I mentioned, Numo Blafo is the Public Relations Officer for the Accra Metropolitan Assembly. He's joined us on the line too. You are welcome, Numo.
Thank you very much.
Certainly, for the AMA, you are saying you are keyed up for the exercise. What exactly have you put in place?
Well, the AMA, as an entity, has always been in the forefront of such activities because it's an implementing agency for policies made by government and its function. Therefore, the AMA has now put up, actually, we started with 23 tracks. And then Zoom Lion is backing it up with another 20, making it 43. We also have 2 16-wheeler trucks, which will be going to assist challenge areas where we might experience some shortfalls. And then we have another 2 trucks or tipper trucks that will also act as a buffer for whatever coordination we needed to do on the day. And as the AMA, we have 11 submetros, and all the submetros have been tasked, especially we working with the electoral areas, which are 86. Therefore, all the assembly members have come up with proposals of areas where they feel that the exercise should be concentrated. And as at this night, we've coordinated every proposal that they've produced or they've provided, and arrangements have been made to make sure that the work is carried on successfully.
So for how long will it last?
Excuse me?
For how long? How many hours? That is talking about tomorrow.
Well, what we're doing now is that the work will continue. Only we've given directives that businesses, shops, markets, lorry parks, all other business concerns, commercial concerns, should be closed between the hours of 6 a.m. and 12 p.m. After that, they can open. But then, the exercise will continue, because it will even continue up to Sunday for a mopping up, because whatever we will do, by all means, there will be some excesses that we will need to collect concerning the, taking into consideration the distances of, for the trucks to go, or the final disposal. And that will also maybe delay a bit, but then Sunday will be used to do the mopping up to make sure that every debris that has been left at these flooded areas and even refuse that have been kept at home. We've directed houses to, or households to come out with whatever refuse they have in their homes so that we collect them at once.
Yes, even as you talk, some are saying that sometimes you have the will, a little bit of it, you go on demolition exercise and yet the debris are not cleared. So it means you still have the problem. What are you going to do about this one?
I don't think that issue is what you've raised now is something that is said, prevailing in the AMA as of now. I don't know where we've gone to remove illegal structures and we've not cleared, because wherever we've removed, we've made sure that whatever should be done, they have been done, especially areas where we needed to construct some drains, primary drains and all that. We removed the structures and we put in the infrastructure that is needed to be put there. We're talking of this Avenue on the open station stretch through the Graphic Road area. What we're doing is that area where the people have put up those structures are reserved areas that are to be accessed by the machinery that will dissolve the drain, and they have encroached on those areas. Therefore, the machines would not go in and do the dissolving. But now that we've removed them, we are going in to do the dissolving, actually, to make sure that the place, because nobody is supposed to, have a structure on a reserved land, actually, for the dissolving of drain. It's not good for a community like the Millennium City of Accra.
Yeah. No, we've seen previous occasions where you start with all the zeal. Sometimes people support actively, but comparatively, like a termite on a nuptial flight, suddenly all the wings drop off and it becomes the same normal process again. Will this be different this time around?
Well, that's actually a challenge, which faces the assembly. But then, whatever we begin, we make sure that we complete it. And you see, sometimes there are issues that crop up, maybe that have not been thought of. In that case, we need to strategize and move on. So, we see that, or people see or complain that when we start something, it's like it reaches the time and then we don't continue. But then, if you look at the gains that we also do in some of these exercises, we need to consolidate all those gains so that at least we don't have those problems there. And sometimes we are also faced with the staffing and talent. That is maybe number of human resources we should have to do the job. So sometimes those are the challenges that make, as we see, maybe the fire dropping out of the, or the wind dropping out of the sail.
So, are you saying that for now you are going to get that money to sustain the exercise?
Yes. This is a directive from the Ministry of Local Government, and actually it's been supported by government. So, and it's not only the AMA that has been tasked to do this kind of exercise. I think Lechukwu, DMA, most of the assemblies are doing it. So it's something that is being supported by government and it should be sustained.
Nomo Blafo, we'll be monitoring progress in the area, but for now I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program tonight.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes. But talking about all this, Emmanuel Ade is also with the Water and Sanitation Monitoring Platform. There are so much concern about progress made with our sanitation. He's also joined us on the line. Good evening, Emmanuel Ade.
Good evening.
I guess you are cheered by the effort being put in place.
Well, cheered by the cheer is not, I would say, is not sustainable, because clean-up exercises, I'm not saying are bad, they are good, But then the gains are short-lived, and within a few, sometimes a few hours or a few days, you see all the flows back into the system. So I think there's still a lot that we have to do as a country, instead of resorting to clean-up exercises.
What is that lot?
A lot because, one, we need to conscientize our people on sanitation as a whole. When you pass by Kwame Nkrumah Circle, you look left and right over the bridge, the Odor River, you see people openly defecating. And it appears nobody tells them anything because every moment you pass there, you see people right there doing it into the river. Nobody talks to them. But then on the same bridge, you see it painted white recently and then they've written boldly, don't post no bill on here over there and AMA will deal with you or something like that. AMA is interested in, you know, checking, posting bills on the walls over there. AMA has task force chasing people from the pavement, selling things to commuters. It appears AMA is not interested in chasing people who are defecating into the Odor River. You see, all these things contribute to the cholera outbreaks that we sometimes see, almost every year we see. So I think we need to do a lot of structural changes. For instance, our engineers have to actually tell us why we are still seeing open drains, you know, into which when there is heavy rain, you can see rocks and stones and the pieces of wood and everything blocking the flow of river of the water, you know. So
yeah.
When are we going to start seeing closed drains so that such heavy things like stones, like rocks, like pieces of wood cannot go and block?
Yeah, but Emmanuel, if you were listening earlier, we spoke to the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development and we raised this particular issue and he was saying that perhaps it is after working on attitudes that you can have closed drains because when it is pushed in there, it becomes even difficult to clear. So in that case, what do you say?
When are we going to start that attitudinal change, you know, the campaign? When are we going to start that? Do we really, really see that campaign going on? I don't think we have seen much, even if it is being turned. Well, I don't think we have seen much.
So people, generally, now trying to apportion blame and still trying to find solutions to the problems, what have we ourselves done to ensure that there is attitudinal change?
Attitudinal change actually does not happen overnight. We need to actually invest in it. Campaigns must always be ongoing. It's not going to be just, let's say, 1 week in a conference or, let's say, a sanitation week or a sanitation month or so. It should be something always ongoing. The media must come in. The development workers must also come in, talking to people always. And also at the tail end, you know, human beings are human beings. Sometimes we need some kind of force to see a change. So you see people doing the wrong thing, you punish them so that the next time they will not do it. When you educate them on the implications of the bad things that they are doing to the environment, you also punish offenders of environmental crimes or environmental offenses so that the next time it will be a deterrent to them and to others too. But we don't seem to punish people enough. And also, we don't seem even to see any active campaign ongoing on some of these attitudinal change issues. So then, we mobilize people today to go and do cleanup exercise. And sometimes, I once witnessed this on TV. As cleanup exercise was ongoing on one side, somebody was also actively open defecating, you know, in a drain just beside, nearby where the cleanup exercise was happening. So what I want to say is that let's punish offenders as we also continue to educate people on the implications of some of their actions. But we don't seem to punish anybody. There's an environmental court or whatever that sanitation courts that were recently launched. We only heard a few instances where those who were committing, you know,
infringing on the sanitation laws were being prosecuted.
I heard about was about those who were doing, like, making noise pollution, we heard a few cases about noise pollution, and so far, well, I don't know whether they have not been actively on air or...
You want it publicized when it happens or people are prosecuted for them?
For them, yes.
Okay.
Let people know about what is happening to others.
Mr. Emmanuel Ade, just as you said, it cannot be a one day thing, so we have to continue with it. But for now, we thank you so much for your time too.
All right.
Emmanuel Ade is with the Water and Sanitation Monitoring Platform. It's behind the news on Radio Ghana, linking up with all RHNI FMs. And in Azerbaijan presently, you can get us on gbcghana.com. Behind the news live on Radio Ghana. And we have some of your tests here. This one from Akansake Kumasi saying, the only way Ghana can overcome this flood is to start prosecuting people who sit by choked gutters, so that everybody will be ready to monitor those who throw filth around. And thank you, Honorable Ampofu. Try and organize the same in all the 10 ranges. Ali Wahab do. And I plead with the authorities to enforce the sanitation law to ensure clean environment. Odenke from Nkoko. And this one is saying, congrats to Accra as a folk. It is my hope that we will crown our centenary with the league trophy. It is Phobia. Happy birthday, Diodone Sirigu. Later on, we'll be touching on that story. But for now, we move to Nadoli. When the issue of deprived communities are mentioned, Northern Ghana has its fair share. But over the years, political authorities have given their quota to improve the socioeconomic life of the people, especially in the Upper West region. One district in the region which is making some strides in the area of health is Nadoli. Currently, the district is to access some Japanese funding to pursue health infrastructure development. What helped Nadoli to be considered for this facility? The DCE is Abu Kasambata, and we have him on the line to tell us much more. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir, Mr. Kingsley.
What exactly are you going to use this funding for?
First and foremost, I use this opportunity to thank the chiefs and people of Nadoli District, and also thank the Japan government for their support. Indeed, one of our major priorities as a government is to ensure that we provide quality health service delivery. You also quite agree with me that a healthy society is a wealthy society. But before any productive activity or a program or a policy can take place in a nation, it therefore means that the people in the nation must be healthy. And that is why the NDC government developed a conscious effort to address some of the developmental challenges in the country, more specifically in Nadoli District. And we are mindful of the fact that no development has to take place in a nation that is made up or characterized by unhealthy people in the country. And that is why President Mills considered health sector and other sectors like agriculture, education, more important to address and achieve accelerated economic growth. Let me quickly go back to the history of this facility. Indeed, the Japan government had supported Nadoli District Assembly with $250,000 to construct children's ward that can contain 150 children. When I came into office as chief executive, I clearly defined principles to ensure that we uplift the image of the people of Nadoli District. So I had a very solid work relationship with my members of parliament. In Upper West Region, it's only Nadoli District that we have two members of parliament. Honorable Ambagbin is a member of parliament for Nadoli West. Honorable Matthias Poza is a member of parliament for Nadoli East. And I personally had a very unique, solid working relationship with these two members of parliament. You know, as chief executive, if you develop or had any antagonism with your member of parliament, things become difficult for you to explore the principles of politics. As politician, represent His Excellency the President at the local level, it is my cardinal duty to create platform for responsibilities, create platform for influence, and also use power to improve upon the welfare of the people of Madoli District. So we engage the services of a consultant to develop a comprehensive proposal to the assembly. And we also establish a committee. I personally chair the committee, and the two members of parliament were directly involved, you know, and they also make a significant input to the Japanese embassy and the Canadian government and United States, the U.S. embassy. We flow this proposal, three development partners to come to the aid of the people of Madoli District. We know the facilities currently at Madoli District Hospital are inadequate, are woefully inadequate. Madoli District Hospital is the only district referral center in Madoli District, even though we have other health centers and chief's compounds in the district. It's quite ironic. If you see the situation in Madoli District Hospital, you would not like to go back to the hospital and see what is happening, especially when the OPD attendance is high. Some children or patients are compelled to pay a bed, and some of them, they admit them on the floor. So when we came into power, we felt it was very, very, very bad. As government that has signed a social contract with Ghanaians to address the failed needs of Ghanaians.
Okay. So you believe that for the facility that you are going to get, it means you'll be building a lot more of these facilities to help, since you are a referral center?
Yes. Let me say that this is the first phase of the project. We have signed the MOU with the Japanese government, and as I'm speaking now, plans are so far advanced the Canadian government to come and support Madoli District Hospital. You see, that is why I stated clearly that if you are chief executive and you had a very working relationship with your members of parliament, you should not rely solely on central government budgetary allocation to execute projects to better the lot of your people.
Okay.
You can still throw in proposals to donors within and outside the country who are willing to support.
Yeah.
Because we have development partners who are willing to support.
Yeah, but
that means the issue of...
So far, we have 34 chief compounds before 2015 to address the Millennium Development Goals. So I think that we have 16 functional chief compounds in the district. And, you know, the essence of this community-based health planning system is to draw health services closer to the people at the grassroots level to have access to quality health service delivery. So we are not failing badly when it comes to scaling of chief's compounds or the implementation of chief's compounds.
Yeah.
And let me also say that from 2009, the district had made significant success when it comes to maternal death records.
Good. You know, we'll be coming back to some of these other issues in subsequent programs, looking at the development of the Madoli district and how really it is getting some assistance to pursue further what it is doing well. But for now, because of our time, we'll leave you. And want to thank you very much, Mr. Abukasam Bata, for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, my brother.
That is the DCE for Madoli on the line. But talking about sports, today marks the 100 years of Accra House of Oak. And we already have a lot of tests here talking about the team. It is the team that says, never say die until the bones are rotten. But on occasion, some have said that perhaps the bones get closer to getting rotten. Some do not believe so, especially when they hope so much in the club, and they will tell you about all the achievements. Going back to the glorious days, Samson Lamte was one of the players that shared in the glory. We have him joining us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Can you tell us exactly the years when you played Accra House of Oak?
Yes, I played Accra House of Oak for 5 years.
Starting from?
starting from 1981
to 1986.
Yeah.
Will you say House of Folk was the type of House of Folk you knew in the past, especially talking about the famous five times?
You know, this is a new generation. So it goes by generation. This period, House of Folk is not like our time, but they will take it so. They are doing their best.
You are doing your best. I was talking around that time. What position were you playing for those who did not know Samson Lante back then?
I was playing right half back.
Right half back?
Yeah.
How was the team faring?
That time we call it number four.
Number four?
Yeah.
How was the team faring then when you were playing?
Oh, yeah. I did my best. I played very well. Everybody who knows me knows I did my best. I do whatever I have to do for a guy as a fool.
Do you remember the match that really you contributed most to?
Yes, that is in 85 against Kumasi Santi Kotoko in Kumasi.
And what was...
They were giving 3 points for away wins. And we went there looking for a draw, but unfortunately for them, we gave them 1-0.
Did you score a goal?
No, I did not
score. You didn't score the goal, but you contributed so much. What was the moment that you didn't like at all during your playing days?
It was a match against other contenders in the African Cup.
What happened then? I guess 1982.
Yeah.
What happened?
They beat us 2-1 in Accra here. By going there to draw 1-1 with them, he came down here to beat us 1-0. Wait, 2-1. Sorry.
So if you have to say something to the club at this time that perhaps it is gradually coming back but still facing challenges, what will you see?
Well, I would like to advise them to do their best, because football is what they want to do. That is their job. So the present players must do their best.
We want to thank you very much, Mr. Samson Lamte. Perhaps we'll find an extended forum where we can get much more from the experience you had whilst playing. Thank you so much.
Thank you too. You're welcome.
But Carl Tufour has been monitoring the progress of the club over the years as a sports analyst. We have him on the line too. Carl, you are warmly welcome.
Oh, thank you very much, Kingsley.
House of Folk in 100 years, how will you describe the club?
Well, I can't describe it any other way to say just congratulations, because at the end of the day, it's been 100 years of ups and downs, triumphs and sorrow. So it's they've gone through the whole roller coaster, and this is the time.
So you believe it's a checkered history, but on which side will you place the mark, positive or negative?
Well, I can only speak from the time I really started following football in Ghana, and that was back in, let's call it from like 74 then, 1974, and they've had great players in their time. I mean, many people will look at the current generation and think, oh, these are the guys. But there were players like Joe Dakota, Robert Foley, great, absolutely great players, and I will not mince any words there. Those players I saw in those middle, early 70s would have walked into any team in the current era and given them a good or something, because the players were simply better than, absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever.
Yeah. You've mentioned some of the players, but can you give maybe two that stands out, two players that will stand out so well anytime you mention Accra House of Folk? Hello, Carl. Oh, that's unfortunate, we lost Carl on the line, but we'll quickly try to establish contact and wrap up that interview with Carl. But we have these tests here. It says, congrats to the oldest existing club in Ghana, Accra House of Folk. My greetings to all Fobian fans around the globe. Tanka, also known as Obamzu Nanso Alavanyo Volta Region. Emmanuel Fobia UDSY saying, Accra House of Folk, the Continental Club Masters will never say die until the bones are rotten. Happy birthday to all Fobians. Long live Ghana. Long live Fobia. And Nelson from Bole saying, it is time we start prosecuting the so-called prophets so that they will stop creating fear and panic in society by predicting the end of the world. I guess it relates to the story that has been running earlier in the day. Well, we have Carl rejoining us on the line. Thank you so much, we lost you. Well, I was asking if you have to mention two players out of the whole lot that you've known over the years.
Hello, Kingsley.
Yes.
You mean two players that
two players standing out, yes.
It's very, very simple. I mean, the players that I have seen play, and let me emphasize, seen play, the greatest of them was Mohamed Polo, so definitely he's got to be in. But for me, without a shadow of a doubt, the most complete player, when I mean complete, I mean he could do just about everything look perfect, was the late Mama Akwa, or a.k.a. Mama Musa. A fantastic player, absolutely brilliant. It's a pity he didn't really play for play that often for the Black Stars, because there were lots of good players at that time. I mean, you think of Yao Sam, before he moved on to the wing, he was competing with Bomba for what then was called number 8 or in the right position. Later on, along came Dan Owusu. So there were great players in that era. But those two players, absolutely no doubt, and it's not surprising that to me they were within the two greatest teams Hearts have ever produced, in my estimation.
Yeah.
And really, if you really talk, you know, the initial famous five of fearsome five, I'm sorry,
yeah,
was the 77 squad. But I thought the 79 squad was even better than 77. Absolutely fantastic. And Bomba was in both squads, but Polo and Bomba, absolutely no doubt, by far the greatest since 1973, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. What do you think is the greatest thing working against the development of the club?
Too amateurish in everything they do. Absolutely amateurish. And I don't know if you've heard what happened today in terms of the celebration problems when they went to the mosque. Not many people were, not many of the team were there. The float, nobody knew where the float was going. Absolutely shambles. I mean, I couldn't put it any better. They've got to become a bit more professional. And I think if you look at it, if you look at the way I call them the Bonner half a team are being run. I mean, Hearts really need to learn a lot from them. And maybe we should stop this thing about patron, and whatever it is, and get people who can hold, in quotation marks, buy the club and then start running it as a business entity. And maybe we'll see the professionalism there.
So do you see the floating of shares as perhaps the starting point?
Well, but that was even a shocker. I mean, what they wanted to sell, they were not even able to sell enough. So to me, it just wasn't even good enough. The floating of shares is not what's going to sort it out right now. Already, there's a tussle between one faction against the other faction. That is the amateurism that is so annoying within the club.
Well, Carl, before we want to leave it here for now, but I know that those who matter in the club will be listening to you and taking the necessary steps to make the club what it should be for the next century, if it is alive. Thank you so much, Carl Yafi Tufor.
Thank you very much, Tufor.
That's the sports analyst there on the issue of Accra Hustle Folk at 100. And this one from Kojo Akins, Cape Coast. How sad to end 100 years of existence with a defeat, as it happened to Hustle Folk at the hands of Dwarfs last Wednesday. And Mohamed Nani Y saying, how many cleanup exercises haven't we embarked on? And so the problem of sanitation and floods still occurs. We need a comprehensive policy to check this problem. And that is where we wrap it all up for today. Osei Balobi was at the controls for us. The production crew, Bright Agama, Christopher Sidu, and Abraham Asaro, fast summarizer Jonathan Thompson. My name is Kingsley Odinchere.